some people are going to still need digital literacy training, but also that's when we begin introducing them to AI. So we have to build the AI literacy framework in such in different phases and really just train people at the certain levels, because the beautiful thing about technology, and you know this, they have a 4-year college degree anymore.
Welcome to the AI Advantage, where modern leaders decode the future of tech. I'm Solomon Williams, founder of Solenox. So here, it's no noise, no hype every week. Sometimes it's just me, and sometimes it's the brightest minds in tech, breaking down what it really takes to grow smarter with AI and automation. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the AI Advantage. I'm your host, Solomon. We have a special guest today. We have Medina Ali. She's the president of Safe PC Solutions, or her AI, aka Hero Ali, was it?
Yeah. On the side. So, my AI agent is Superhero AI agent, Ali.
Hero Ali. So, Medina, thanks so much for coming on to the show. I'm really excited because I wanted to kind of focus in on Atlanta leaders that are really in the tech space, that are really innovating in the side and bring more awareness. So, introduce yourself to the audience just to learn a little bit more about, you know, who you are and what is Safe PC Solutions.
Well, we are a leading managed security service provider. And last year, I had the opportunity in partnership with Praxis AI to build cybersecurity awareness training on a generative AI platform. And they created AI agent, and that AI agent is Superhero Ali. And through that process, and through that journey, I began learning about generative AI and how it can help you learn. However, at the same time, we also had to focus on the security around AI, because there's a lot of deep fakes. There's a lot of people who see this as an opportunity to really impersonate people that don't exist and really, you know, scam people, unfortunately. The other challenge I feel with generative AI is that when they were building the algorithms, they did not think of people of color. They did not think of women. And so naturally, people of color and women traditionally have felt like they've been feeling left out. So I said, let's get in front of it, right? Let's figure out how I can develop not only the training, but also an AI agent that people can relate to, right? And so when people see it, they really get excited. I mean, recently I've been invited to the Cybersecurity Awareness Week. Well, Cybersecurity Week in Kenya, for example. And they want me to talk about generative AI, the security components, but how can we build more relevant content that reflects everyone? And how do we develop the training, the algorithms, the modules that will make AI more inclusive for everyone? Because it's here. It is the phenomenon of what the internet was. Remember when, you know, people don't realize this. I mean, the younger generation, all they know is email and text, right?
Yeah.
That's all they know. But right. There was a time when, you know, you had a landline, right? You didn't use your cell phone for everything. And then the internet came about, and it drove the evolution of email. It drove the evolution of social media. It drove the evolution of text, right? As we know it. That's how we're communicating. And globally, we communicate using WhatsApp. So now, you don't even have to worry about how expensive it is to call someone overseas. If you want to text, send them a WhatsApp message, you get it, right? Via the internet. But most importantly, AI is this new technology evolution that's changing how we work, how we think. And normally when something like this is so evolutionary, people get scared. Right. Microsoft just had 10,000 people laid off.
Yeah.
You know, can we blame that on AI? To some degree, we can, because now all of these organizations realize we may not need everyone. We still need our specialists. But we can now go into Copilot and I can say, Word, I need a proposal. Give a few ideas and it's written. But normally we would have an assistant put that together, right? So my goal is to train my assistant to utilize Copilot, but start developing other skills that traditionally assistants can't do, right? That the assistants, so she's telling me, well, you know what? I'm going to be working on CRM. I'm going to be supporting the technical team. I'm going to make more calls and have that more human touch. So what we have to think about in terms of AI and generative AI is, how is it going to help us improve our work? But also, how can we help people develop skills and get the necessary training so they do not feel left out?
And I love that on the piece of it, Wicca, when you're speaking of, because of you, there's always two sides of the coin when new technology comes out. There's the AI side of all these revolutionary things that can do with, you know, Hagen, with the avatar you're speaking of, that it can create advertisement and so forth. But now coming into play with span, with, you know, there was a report beforehand, it was about 250,000, I believe, in the 200s that was lost because the CEO made it sound like an AI copied the CEO's voice to another internal employee on the accounting that was able to push the funds over, and they copy the CEO's voice. So you're having to kind of think of in terms of security side. Yeah. And already you kind of hear with, and I think this is what I wanted to touch on with SafePC Solutions on, you know, companies now having to be NIST, NIST or CMMC compliant, whether it's on the government side or from the commercial side.
Yeah.
What pieces would you say now that the trend is moving towards with this AI, what do you tell your partners and clients, and what are the main things they need to be aware of when building out their cybersecurity or their
framework,
their intra or for their identity management?
Identity access management, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, great question. First of all, let me tell you, some of our clients who now have evolved into AI as a service, right? They are very focused on making sure they become CMMC and NIST compliant right now. They don't want to wait. They know Department of Defense is getting stronger, but they also realize financial services, they realize education,
HIPAA,
they realize manufacturing, they realize across all industries that because of AI, we have to have stricter security controls. And these security controls goes way beyond multi-factor authentication, identity access management. Now it's getting into privilege access management. Who do you give access? Who is this person within your organization? And we're only going to give them so much limited access.
Yeah,
it's just going a whole lot deeper. There's going to, every month, this employee needs to go through their security awareness training. We need to review it. They need to understand it. They need to make sure they know an email phishing attack. You made a very good example about that recording, right? Of they're thinking that, okay, this is an actual transaction because the CEO said it, the CEO approved it, and it's going through, right? And what we have to understand is that, and that's another thing too, and every time I'm talking to the accounting people and it's back office and it's US based, is we're not in an environment where we're recording anything. I mean, we're on the phone, we're going through things. We probably do things a little bit more traditionally, but we have to because of the issue of security and also the different layers of security. Now it's not only the secure VPN, but how secure is this internet as well? Because in the internet and because of social media has changed the dynamics of that whole area of security. So it's layers of security. It's ensuring that the training, and I'm so glad you brought up CMMC NIST framework, because I'm writing an article right now about CMMC NIST framework has to be actionable. It's one thing to have an incident response plan, but you have to make sure you're taking the action, documenting the incident response plan. How was that incident response plan resolved? And making sure that it does not happen again. And so what I see now, because of AI, companies and organizations are not only implementing, but they're trying to come up with mechanisms and controls of how we can keep that enforced. as well.
And, you know, with that side of how now these companies are kind of having to transition, what do you see in the next couple of years? Do you think that it's going to be more focused on that, you know, just-in-time access, or that, you know, for the folks that are in the Azure and the cloud, or for that privileged identity, that kind of those specific roles, creating custom roles? You know, I'm curious to think on, like, what is your viewpoint on it within as this continues to scale?
I think it's going to become more custom role development and what your specialty is and what do you do at that job versus what either the co-pilot does, the co-pilot studio agent, if it's, you know, Superhero Ali, we're open AI agent. It's going to be you working along that AI agent. You're focusing more on human-based things that we have to do, because we have to face it. Generative AI is dependent on us, right? They're dependent on our thoughts and what we do, right? So I think the way the skill set is going to evolve is you're going to be working along with that AI agent, but the AI agent is dependent on you and your skills and what you need to do. But what is important and what's critical, and what I'm developing now in partnership with Praxis AI, is an AI literacy framework. Keep in mind, we're still suffering from digital literacy, right? Everybody doesn't have access to a laptop, a desktop. People are very heavily dependent on their phones. And as you know, these phones are very limited in terms of what you can do. And people eventually, now they're tools where you can build your own AI agent in a very, very simple way, in a simple manner. But we have to get people to understand the basics of the AI framework, and get people trained and make sure we do not continue to leave people behind. We still have an issue of the digital divide. And right now, I think AI literacy and building the AI literacy framework around trying to make sure these parents are trained so they can help their children, and then making sure the teachers in our school systems and the professors in colleges are trained properly so they know. And then also employers are going to have to continuously train their employees. Like, I require my staff once a week to go into some type of AI training. They're sitting in a webinar. They're required to get certifications and to constantly keep training, because as you know, technology keeps evolving. I mean, you know, as an cloud expert, one of the things, and we know cloud's not going away, right? We know we have to secure the cloud, even if we're going to do a hybrid cloud solution. Even if you have a private cloud, because I tell people all the time, private cloud is good for business continuity and disaster recovery, but we're still so dependent on going into our M365, going into our Google Workspace. All of that still has to have some type of data backup, some type of redundancy. And so that's going to be even a growing trend there too, is how do we make these cloud-based solutions that we are so heavily dependent on, how do we make those even more secure? Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. And I think that I really like on in terms of the AI literacy part, because now I think we're getting to a point now, and even working with Copilot, you hear a lot of, I think we talked about it earlier in a previous conversation there's a lot of hype and like, there's a lot of fluff that's going on with AI and, you know, what to learn. There's so many new technologies that are coming out. It's hard to even kind of, what's the basics? And I love that you're putting together a framework for that, because now businesses are, even from enterprise all the way down to startups and small solopreneurs, small businesses, they're looking into how can AI kind of be part of my business, other than the other parts of it, of course, of helping me be an assistant. But how now does it bring actual tangible results to it?
Yeah. So, well, also the question is, how does it bring value?
Right. That part too.
Yeah. How does it bring value to my current skill set? And also what I'm emphasizing to people around the AI literacy framework, we have to build it where some people are going to still need digital literacy training, but also that's when we begin introducing them to AI. So we have to build the AI literacy framework in different phases and really just train people at the certain levels, because the beautiful thing about technology, and you know this, they have a 4-year college degree anymore. You can get that certification. you can get that experience. You can really develop and build your skills and have a really good career in technology. So it still has to be the opportunity for everyone. And I think right now, because AI is just everywhere, like you said, right now, people are facing a little fear, like, gosh, am I going to be okay with it? Am I going to be able to deal with it and be in front of it? The other big challenge is, and as I talk more about the security, is also going to be about the data governance.
Yes.
How are we going to manage this data? And that's why, next Wednesday, we're having this event on the challenges of data governance. And I think AI has really put that at the forefront, because now, because of the utilization of AI, we need more data centers. We need more energy within those data centers. We need more cloud engineers such as yourself, helping us every day. And, what is the data governance strategy? I mean, what is it? I mean, we were talking about it, but we got to implement it. We have to have something in place. And so I think that's going to bring out another skill set of experts that we're going to have to say, okay, this is the data governance expert. This is our privacy specialist. This person knows HIPAA. This person knows GDPR. This person knows PCI compliance. And I think those areas are going to become even more specialized.
Yeah.
Because of how we manage the data. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And as your point to a perfect example of it, of now you don't need this 4-year degree, things are changing rapidly.
Yes, exactly.
Even for myself, I went through the Atlanta's Tech Bridge program that Andre Dickens had, that's how I initially got through. Mm-hmm. I already had a little bit, but that's how I got through to that, transitioning from. They taught Scrum, they taught, Azure, Cloud, getting your certifications. And then that's how I've started my career of that. I didn't necessarily have the 4-year computer science degree.
So
I think to your point is, as we grow forward and, moving on, that the dynamic is going to be changing. So, and especially on the data governance controls, as you said, that there's now we have to put in place a guardrails policy. What's the compliance standards of this? What are the, power? And then that's one side of the security. But then on the other side, how are these companies? How do I leverage this data that I'm paying in to actually move forward,
And remember, we always concerned about conditional access policy, right? Data loss prevention. Now it's, we have the policy, but we got to go back and review it. We got to go do audits to make sure it's being implemented. We got to make sure people in that IT department are trained with standards and they understand everything. Whereas before, we just, we got our policy. Good check. But now it's taking it a lot further. And I think that's going to start developing a whole other level of skill sets and experts that we need that also understand the LLM algorithm in AI.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So with that being said, on this, especially with it coming out in terms of the event that you said that's coming on next week, what are you seeing that's really working well right now for Safe PC? And what have you seen that's been a trend that has?
Well, our focus and what I'm very passionate about is there are two areas. It's definitely, we're working with a client right now who they've added AI client services, but we're about to get them prepared for the CMMC NIST audit. And from that, we're going to be building a business case. So that's probably one of my most exciting projects. And then also with Praxis AI, we're continuing to promote the cybersecurity awareness training through generative AI. But it's my goal to create a cohort. My goal is to create it in Atlanta, in the community, because again, we want to continue to bridge digital divide. So right now, those are my two passionate projects right now. It's I'm so excited. And then also that gives the opportunity for my staff to go through additional training because now we're looking at cyber liability. We're going through that training, the cyber liability expertise. working with cybersecurity insurance, just to go through that. Also putting, you know, even looking at our own security plan, right? And making sure our devices are up to date and our team is up to date. But right now, I would just say for SafePC, these two projects and also the AI literacy framework will fall into that, because our goal is eventually to start running two cohorts at a time, one focusing on cybersecurity awareness and generative AI, and then the other one focusing on AI literacy framework, where we're addressing the digital divide. And also, we're continuing to grow our clientele base in CMMC niche framework, because we've moved into the sports industry. We're heavily in financial services, but we're continuing to grow even more in financial services. And so because of AI and protecting the consumer data, they're even looking more at implementing CMMC niche framework, which is not so much a requirement, but they realize with the emergence growth of AI, they have to put in stricter controls, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And then with that side, with the stricter controls and so forth, and just from your career, what you're seeing now and the trend, what would you say that that's, whether it's in people for trying to get more CMMC compliant, whether that's from the healthcare, the financial side, what would you say is like the most, the top security or compliance issue that you think that most organizations are not thinking of, or that they're struggling with, that the SafePC solution?
I think that they all struggle with, okay, when are we going to be attacked? Right. It's not a matter of, are we going to be attacked? NASC, it's a matter of when. Right. Remember, it was like, well, we don't need to make all those investments. We don't know. And now it's like, okay, we're vulnerable. We're going to be, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's a matter of, so how do we prevent from being attacked? What do we put in place? What measures we put in place for prevention? And so that's what's keeping us also very busy, is building out that security roadmap, that strategic plan. Now that they've put in Gemini at their Google Workspace, now that they have Copilot, a lot of them now looking at Copilot Studio. They're looking at how they're changing their infrastructure with AI. So now we need even more security controls, and so-and-so has his AI agent and he wants to work at home. Is he going to be doing something else now? Is he really doing something for the company? And right. I'm like, you know, we may need to bring him in the office right now, right, just to make sure. I don't know if I would have anybody working remote that's also on the AI agent project. I think you need to keep everybody in the office just to, you know, make sure you can tighten up things and keep things, you know, very, very secure. So that's what, you know, that's what I would really focus on. And that, yeah. I mean, that's what we're, you know, we're dealing with right now, or the focus right now is, how do we manage this team that's handling our AI?
Right. And now you have to think of, in terms of, like that you brought up, in terms of having the remote side of, you know, there's multiple ways now they have to think about this. Do I utilize a jump box for my client, for my employees coming in to even more? You know, there was one I was working with a client, like, you know, on, they wanted to be CMMC compliant with Azure Virtual Desktop, and how
So
keeping that in. So, yeah. You know, it brings about, as you said, and
we're experts in that. I mean, we actually are rebuilding the Azure Virtual Desktop solution on the marketplace, mm-hmm. the Azure marketplace right now. Mm-hmm. And we are focusing on security controls, because that is a solution where if you keep it virtual in that network, that is definitely a way that, you know, you're keeping all your applications and software that company secure. However, what we're finding is a lot of these people that are AI or you know, AI engineers, they have another laptop at home. They have the company, they have their own one, and they are using a lot of stuff from GitHub, open source, and OpenAI.
Right.
So in other words, they could be on an Azure virtual environment working, but some of them are also coming up with their own ideas. And that's just the reality. You know, you do have entrepreneurs, you have people who are thinking, you know, my AI agent could be the next Amazon solution. You know, you never know. You never know. So that's just the risk we take when you have remote workforce. But sometimes I feel like on the bigger engagements, it's better to just bring people into the office. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you can control it versus letting them do things remotely, because there's a possibility that idea no longer becomes that company idea.
Right. And then there's a gap in between that. So with that, Medina, like, where would you like to see, say, now as it continues to grow, as this AI, there's so many tools that comes out and so forth, where... Looking ahead, where would you like to see Safe PC in this, either within this time next year, and then with the Safe PC ed tech that you were speaking on earlier?
Yeah. Well, you know, we are looking at global expansion right now. We are looking at the Netherlands, particularly The Hague, where a lot of the global cybersecurity organizations and companies are located, because that is the international governing body for, you know, a lot of international crimes that are conducted throughout the world. Yeah, is The Hague in the Netherlands. And so the reason why I'm looking at evolving that growth. For the past 3 years, I had the opportunity to serve with the United Nations, with ICT, Information, Communications, and Technology, on that committee where we, you know, how do we utilize cybersecurity for all the member nations of the UN. So Safe PC Solutions, we are a key stakeholder within the with the Open Working Ending Group for Information, Communications, and Technologies. And we're going to continue on our work in that area. That's some of the work that I'm very, very proud of. And I think for us to really grow and scale, we're really looking at the Europe, Middle East, and Africa.
Okay, yep.
Really expand on our services. And then after that, I'm going to look at, do I exit or do I just change over the leadership and write books and consult? I don't know yet. But the next stage is definitely expanding globally. And then from there, just building up the leadership within the organization. So I don't like to travel as much anymore like I used to. I spend more time with my family now. So it's just time now for me to develop. I'm developing them now, but I think I want to develop more the leadership to take over Safe PC. And actually, it's our senior technical lead who is launching the Safe PC Europe in the Netherlands. It's something he wants to do. And I said, okay, we can do that. You know, it's about expanding and growing globally, and then also allowing other people to come in and really execute your vision.
Right.
Because, you know, when you build a company, you have to have a lot of team players. You have to have a lot of partners where it makes sense. And you have to trust people, and you have to allow people to help you grow. So the next stage is definitely to expand globally. I've done things non-traditional. As an African-American woman, I've worked in industries where traditionally we have not been able to get into. You know, a lot of us have set up as government contractors and do work for HUD and city and local. And I tried that a bit, but I just didn't. That just wasn't me. And I'm not to say that I won't ever do government, but and I definitely feel the training that I'm doing will involve local governments. And I definitely want to work with those organizations because I feel the training that we have will lead people to jobs and skills. But at the same time, I want the leadership in technology, particularly African-Americans. I want us in all industries. I want us in all areas. I want us to grow globally. You know, I have the opportunity at the end of October to go to Cybersecurity Week in Kenya. And, you know, they've invited me to come over there and speak. And I'm really looking at going because right now, people realize, but there are emerging markets right now in the continent of Africa. You got Nigeria, you got Kenya, you got Ghana, South Africa is already there. But you have some really exciting things happening with those countries and how they're utilizing technology to grow. So I want, you know, more partnerships and collaborations in those countries between African Americans and those countries. And, you know, I want us to continue to think outside the box and not be put more in a traditional spot where I think we've been put in.
And you brought up a good point in terms of, you know, kind of the caveat to it of you making that impact into Africa and so forth, because I really wanted to touch on your mentorship and so of your focuses on of, you know, helping bring, you know, bridge that digital divide, especially African-American community. So with that being said, like, what inspired you to like want to get more into the mentorship, bring back? Was there a specific point in the career that you said, this is something that I want to get back, that I'm seeing that there's not enough of us in there, or that we're not thinking more strategic questions? Or
I think also, I just want you to know, I'm fourth generation entrepreneur, so I'm not I'm not as a newbie as some people are, but people have mentored me, you know, people have helped me, you know, and I've had very good white male mentors. I've had very good white women mentors. I've had, and particularly in IT, I've had Asian mentors who've helped. And I've been blessed to have people guide me and support me. And I think sometimes, you know, African-American, particularly some of the younger ones, aren't feeling like they have that support system. So I try to provide them with support. Recently, and I need to give him a call, young, bright, talented, just graduated from Clark Atlanta University, master's computer science. He's already building generative AI tools. He was laid off the Fortune 100 company. And when I looked at his, I was like, you can't get a job. I'm up here like, what? So I'm trying to figure out, gosh, you know, how do I help him get the job? And one thing is I'm going to have him come to my event next week because I want to introduce him to some of the people that are in some high positions. Because, you know, he needs to network with these people, because when I saw his, I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, not only does he have the degrees, but he also has the certifications. And he's a developer building different projects already. And to me, that's the future.
Yeah.
So I'm up here trying to figure out why these companies are not investing in him, and, you know, and try to understand more of his approach, because he may be doing something wrong, and how can I help him? So I want him to be at the event, but I also want, after the event, I want to sit down and take some time with him to figure out, okay, look, like, what are you doing? Because he's on LinkedIn. His profile looks wonderful on LinkedIn. And I'm just so proud of him, because I feel like his future is just so bright. Yeah. And it just kind of, it really bothered me. Like, I'm like, gosh, you know, so I have to get to the bottom of it, you know, like, yeah, doing, you know, so I can make sure he gets. Because the other thing too, your network becomes your network. And so it's important you're networking with the right
people.
And then also, some people you think may be helping you, but they may be threatened by your skill set, and they may not really be helping you, you know. So I want him to understand that too, because that took me a long to learn. Like, I'm thinking people are, some people are like,
it did too for me.
Yeah. Like, you think that, and they're looking at you as competition, and they're not going to really help you. And I'm just wondering if he's falling into that same trap. But when you're in your early 20s, that's the last thing you're thinking.
The last one, right?
You're thinking everybody's trying to help you, which they should be, right? Right?
Yeah, of course.
But I'm like, this guy is so talented. I'm like, wait a minute. I said, so I got to sit down and really meet with him, take him to lunch, and really find out what's going on. Because when I saw his resume and I was going through, I was like, wait a minute, he's on top of some things. Because he's already building some of the more innovative generative AI tools already.
And that's where I think that comes in the part of it. Especially even when you're dealing with, especially as consultant, or you're coming on with a new hire and so forth else, you deal with it in terms of bringing on a company from a waterfall to agile, or you're bringing in a new solution from a new, you know, as a consultant, you may come in and you're like, well, this is how we've always done it. And so now you're trying to transition. People are like, whoa, like, you're messing up either my comfort zone, or why do I need to transition? So then now, or who is this new guy? And now I've been here. So there's so many different layers and tools.
And that's the other thing too. I'm wondering if people are feeling like, oh my gosh, he's young, he's the future. I bring him in, I'm out. And I'm like, ooh, you know, like, whoa, for real? Because that's not how I'm thinking. I'm thinking, I need to bring you on board to help grow my company.
I don't know
if I can afford you, but I got to figure something out, right? That's what I'm thinking. But a lot of people are thinking, well, wait a minute, in 2 years, I'm gone. So that's what I have to get to the bottom of.
Yeah, I think so too. So with that being said, Medina, like on as it's moving forward, you know, what would you say is the, you know, what would be a major challenge like in the cybersecurity or in access to the tech training, if you could solve it, that one major challenge, what would it be?
Well, I think when you're in leadership and technology, we got to make this more inclusive for all, right? And I think that we're still on the forefront of what AI can do, right? Now, I'm sure you've seen these AI robots, right? And that's making a lot of people uncomfortable. You know, we used to see them in the movies, but now they really exist, right?
Now you see them in Midtown. Like, you see them in Midtown with the Waymo and,
oh,
like...
Yeah, all of that. So, so I think we have to really understand what the AI robot is going to play. And again, we got to make sure people of color and women are in those algorithms. And that, I think that's definitely my focus. And I'm just grateful for my partnership with Praxis AI with David and Sharon, who have given me the opportunity to ensure that things are included as well.
No, I mean, I think these are, you know, you think it's so far away in terms, especially when you talk about the robot side, but, you know, I always say really within these next 5 years, like within from now until 2030, especially with there's so, it's how do you stay relevant? How do you stay as a business?
Yeah.
You know, how do you keep this dividing and structure to be in competition with others? And now with this robots, it's sci-fi, but it's now we're really in this. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. And things are becoming even more competitive.
Very much
because
so.
Because we're now in this space, but I feel like this is a space for opportunity.
That's how I view it.
Yeah.
There's so many ways. There is like, I like how it pivots because you can think of all the cons and so forth else, but how do I stay relevant? How do I keep in where there's always these golden nuggets to kind of keep in. So, you know, Medina, this has been great. So, you know, I wanted to see, you know, with it ever evolving with this AI, if you had a magic wand in terms of, you know, ChatGPT 10 or, you know, whatever, what would you like to see AI do in terms of whether in your day-to-day life or on the business, what would you remove as a challenge or implement?
Well, it has to be responsible. Right. AI has to be responsible. And as you know, all technology has to serve the purpose of the greater good and providing value, but also just doing things the right. So ideally, as we evolve, because, you know, ChatGPT 5 is in Copilot now.
Right.
So. Again, as it keeps evolving, I just want it to be more responsible. That's why I was so honored to be a part of the Global Council for Responsible AI. Next week, we're going to be coming up with, you know, a framework on what does global responsible AI look like. You know, what does this look like, you know, from a responsible angle? And the good thing about the Global Council for Responsible AI is that it's everyone from all the countries throughout the world. And we've come together to really focus on making AI very responsible. And so that's where I see the future of AI.
And in terms of even the ethical part, and then how do we balance that AI in terms of helping human, you know, generate that creative thinking and that human connection rather than just taking away, you know, the money.
Exactly.
Right.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Medina, thanks so much for coming on. I loved having and kind of getting your, you know.
Well, thank you for having me. I mean, Solomon, I'm so impressed. I'm impressed with your organization, what you all are doing. This is amazing. I know you're focusing on Atlanta, but I can really see this becoming nationally and globally. I mean, this is amazing. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Now, thank you for the words.
This is really good. This is really good. Yeah.
So I wanted to have it, you know, before, you know, we cut off, you know, wanted to have it. People wanted to learn more on like safety solutions or like if they were having a gap even in their IT, you know, their infrastructure or their cybersecurity, you know, where can they learn more about SafePC? And for those that, you know, want to know more on your journey on mentorship and just seeing through, where can they find you?
Well,
as well?
You know, go to our website, www.safepcsolutionsusa.com. LinkedIn, just type in Medina Ali. I'm usually the first one that pops up. Just reach out to me. And on the website, you can go, you can fill out our contact us page. It comes back to me. Just really, or if it's better to connect with me on LinkedIn, I'm on LinkedIn every day. Just really, you know, I definitely want to help other businesses. I definitely want to help people with their careers. You know, it's good to build a company and make money, but for me, it's more important to give back and make sure we share the wealth versus always trying to have it and not and leave other people out. I don't think that's a really good approach. So
I've learned that there's so much. I feel like people think that it needs to be coveted, but there's so much that I've learned just through experience that there's enough money. Like there's so many pieces of pie.
Exactly.
It really isn't.
If we got all these billionaires and,
right.
You know, now we're talking about trillions of dollars. I mean, we got more than enough for everybody. And I think that people just, you know, kind of along the way lose their values and lose what, you know, is important to them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Stay vigilant on that. So, Medina, again, thanks. And for those that have tuned in, yes, thank you for listening through all throughout. We'll have Medina's for Safe PC Salute. We'll have it in the show notes for you to kind of look through if you wanted to tap into or you wanted to reach out to Medina.
Yes,
we'll have that. Make sure to like and subscribe, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Right. Thank you.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the AI Advantage. If this episode sparked an idea, share it with your network. Subscribe for more no fluff conversations on how smart tech drives real outcomes. And if you're ready to future-proof your business, let's connect at solonox.net.